Welcome to the G-Rated Podcast. This is Mary Emerson. Thanks to Lori McLeod and Pam Washam for their permission to use the background music, which includes nature sounds, by the way, and which they composed, performed, and recorded. This is called Ice Melting. To everybody on my podcast, this is not going to be the promised classical and folk music podcast yet. This is going to be one that I sent up to the Blind Cool Tech site, and it hasn't gotten podcast yet, so I'm going to go ahead and just put it on my individual podcast. This is about the Opticon, which is a reading machine for the blind, and I discuss how I use it, what I do with it, and the fact that it survived for about 30 years and ceased production in the mid-1990s. But I wanted the information to be out there for people who are interested in not only the history of technology, but in the possibility of getting a used Opticon, which can still be repaired if need be. So here is what I sent to the Blind Cool Tech FTP site. Hello everyone, this is Mary Emerson. And today I'm going to talk about a device called an Opticon. Many of you who have been around since around the 1970s and 1980s have probably heard of the Opticon. The name is spelled O-P is in people, T-A-C-O-N. And it is a reading machine that was manufactured from around 1971 up through, I would guess, around 1995. And you can still even get the machines repaired, but I'll talk about that a little bit later. Before I proceed with this podcast, I want to let everybody know that the comments made on this podcast are my opinions and based on knowledge that I have. I'm sure that other people know far more about this machine than I do. I would really like the information to be spread about the Opticon and the fact that there is an effort going on to survey Opticon users, to gather old equipment so that the parts can be used to recycle working Opticons and make them work better, or repair them, or maybe even rebuild Opticons that are broken, and we might have some new parts that could be used. I am not able to repair machines, but there are places where you can get them fixed. And the best way to find out about this is through the Opticon email list, which I will provide information for at the end of this podcast. Okay, all the preliminaries out of the way now, let's get into what the Opticon is, and I'm just going to focus on how I have used the machine over the last 30 years, and perhaps some of you can, if you have any comments on it, then you can let me know. The Opticon is a reading machine that allows a person to use a small camera, which I suppose is probably about a couple of inches long and about a quarter of an inch wide and half an inch tall, maybe. I'm just guessing. To use the camera to read print. What you do is you move the camera across a line of print, and yes, you go letter by letter, line by line, to read a page or even a computer screen. There are various types of lenses that attach to the camera itself. There are lenses for reading regular print, and these lenses have a button on the top that will allow you to adjust the size of the print. And there are also lenses for reading very, very small print. There are lenses for reading calculators and various LCD devices. There are lenses that are used to read CRT computer screens, and I have a lens that I used for this purpose while working for my first 15 years of my career, and this lens also works for my LCD screen that I have hooked up to my PC, and it works very, very well. The camera is held in one hand, and you move it across a line of print. This is called tracking, T-R-A-C-K-I-N-G. Your other hand is used to feel an image of the item that the camera sees. This can be a letter, a number, a character in a different language. I have heard of people using it to read Russian. I have looked at Japanese with an opticon. Whatever the camera sees, it will send to the main opticon unit, and then the image is sent to your other hand, which is placed in a little area that contains a plate of vibrating pins. And the pins vibrate in the shape of the item that the camera sees, so it's a direct translation. There's no processing whatsoever. Whatever the camera is looking at, if it's only part of a letter or part of a number or part of a character, that's what it sees. That is what you feel. Now, for example, the letter O would look like a vibrating circle with an empty center because there's nothing in the center of a letter O. This is an invaluable device for reading schematic diagrams, drawings, pictures, if they are readable with the opticon. Some of them are not. And things like flowcharts, if they're still used in programming, I don't know if they are. When I was a technical writer, I was responsible for books that had numerous what we called railroad track diagrams of command syntax. And they involved lines of arrows, command words, branches off of these lines that either branched up or down or across to other lines that contained different portions of the syntax. And I had to read all of these to make sure that everything connected properly within the books that I was writing. It was very time-consuming, but I would have never been able to do that without the assistance of the opticon. So that's what the opticon does. It's a device that will let you read print spontaneously without the use of a computer and just do it quickly. It's fabulous for checking your mail to make sure that you know who wrote what to you. It's fabulous for checking your typing, an envelope that you addressed. You want to make sure it printed correctly. You want to make sure that a check was typed correctly, that it ended up on the proper lines, that all the information came out on the lines that it was supposed to come out on. I have used it for income tax forms when I was filling them out and want to make sure that everything lined up correctly. I use it for food packages. I want to read the directions on a food package. I have used it to look up things in dictionaries and phone books. Not so much nowadays because a lot of that stuff is online. But I have even used it for reading books. I've read some books with the opticon. As far as reading speed, a lot of people tend to read slowly with the opticon. I read very quickly because it was my main reading device for years, and I need to have a device that will function in this way because I don't have sighted assistance. The opticon has been wonderful for just all types of things like this. I don't think I told you very much about how big this thing is. There were a couple of different models of the opticon. The R1 weighed about, I would guess, about 4 pounds. and was about the size of a hardcover.
I had said a hard copy before. That was wrong.
Book. I would guess about 6 inches by 4 inches by about 2 inches high. Then there was the Opticon 2, which was smaller, probably weighed about 2.5 to 3 pounds, and was about an inch tall, and I would guess about 4 by 4 inches. I'm not accurate on the size, I'm sure, but instead of placing your hand inside of an area, you placed your hand to read on top of the machine itself. The Opticon 2 was also made of plastic, for the most part, and so it was a bit more fragile. The area where the pins vibrated was smaller, and some people said it just didn't do as well at reading, but it was an Opticon, and we were glad to have it. The machine was manufactured until around 1995, when it was discontinued because it was thought that since scanners were becoming prevalent, people would not need the Opticon anymore. It ran on rechargeable nickel-cadmium batteries, and the batteries had to be replaced by the manufacturer, which was Telesensory Systems. They were in Palo Alto for a while, and then they moved to Mountain View. And I'm not sure where their final location was, but they ceased operation after a number of years of producing and manufacturing items for partially sighted people.
Now that I think about it, I think they finally ended up in Sunnyvale, and I think that's where they stayed until they ceased operation.
I'm not sure if they're going to resume manufacture of this equipment. I really don't know. I've seen some items on various lists about this, but I have no information about that. The Opticon also could be operated with AC power, and there were a number of devices, depending on what country you were located in, where you could have a special AC adapter made for your particular type of electrical connection and voltage. There were a number of lenses that could be attached to the Opticon for reading various types of print. As I have previously mentioned, some of these included lenses for reading very small print, lenses that would allow you to read a calculator display, lenses that were wonderful for reading various computer display monitors.
At various times during the manufacture, there were visual displays, and the visual display
would allow a sighted teacher to see what the student was touching. There were lights on this visual display that would shine in the shape of what the camera was looking at, so a sighted teacher could teach a blind student. There was also what they called a repeater cable, which would allow a blind teacher to see exactly what this blind student was touching. And that would allow the Opticon to be taught. Quite a bit of training was involved in learning to use the Opticon. Usually people had to find a licensed instructor in their area or go to Telesensory in whatever location they happened to be at the time and get 2 weeks of training. I had a week of instruction plus a couple of afternoons with a licensed instructor. Most of this took place while I was on summer break from computer school back in 1976. And I think what we did was condensed 2 weeks of training into, I would guess, all told about a week plus a couple of days, if you add the Saturday training that we did.
One thing I want to make
especially clear is that Opticon training is absolutely necessary to be able to use the machine proficiently and with sufficient speed to make reading worthwhile. You get out of it what you put into it. And even though the standard training involved 2 weeks of training, and even though I did it in a week plus a few afternoons, a great deal of time was spent practicing. That's absolutely vital. When I got done with my training, or the bulk of it anyway, I immediately used what I knew to read my homework assignments in computer school, to read anything in print that I could get my hands on. It's just absolutely necessary that you realize that the Opticon is not an easy device to learn. There's no way of soft pedaling what it can do. It takes a lot of work, a lot of persistence, but what you get out of it is absolutely wonderful and very rewarding if you put the effort into it, because it means that you can read print. It means you can read pretty much anything, even handwriting, if you get good enough. Although some handwriting is very difficult to read because it just looks like a lot of squiggles. And that's not entirely your fault or the Opticon's fault. It's just the way that the person wrote. So it's not a quick answer. It's not a quick fix. But it sure has lasted over 30 years for many of us, and we don't regret it. The Opticon was instrumental in helping me to get through my last third of computer training, because I started right away reading my homework assignments. And then IBM hired me, and I began reading the computer screen with the Opticon. But at the same time, while I was home, I would practice reading with it. And it took a lot of practice to get your speed up. I would guess that I probably read somewhere between around 80 and 100 words a minute, depending on the material that I'm reading. A lot of people, as I said, use the Opticon for smaller items, such as checking to see if their mail was legible before they sent it out, and checking to see if envelopes were addressed correctly, checking to proofread the typing for an envelope, for a check, and they wanted to make sure that everything looked okay. And so when you're doing checking like this, and you're not doing a lot of long-term checking of reading for hours on end, then your speed matches the amount of time you spend using the machine. I use my Opticon 40 hours a week for, about 15 years, and then after that, I used it primarily for situations where I needed to read the mail, read package instructions, read appliance instructions, even reading appliances themselves to see what the keys were. I remember reading keyboards, typewriter keyboards, word processor keyboards, computer keyboards that had non-standard formats. And you could read the characters on the key tops to see what they were, so that you didn't need a sighted person to tell you what was what. Very, very useful for that. Reading clothing tags to see what the washing instructions are. All sorts of things that you can use an Opticon for. I just could not live without an Opticon, I must say. It's one of those devices that has just become such an incredible part of my life. So that's what the Opticon is. That's what it does. And that's a general description of it. It's basically just a box with the electronics inside of it, and then a single cable, which is, I would guess, about 3 feet long, which connects the Opticon main unit to the camera, which is the thing that you hold in your other hand to read a screen or a line of print or a book or whatever. The Opticon has a couple of operating modes. Actually, the Opticon 2 has three settings. The Opticon R1 has two. One of them is normal mode, which is for reading black print or dark print on a light background. There has to be enough contrast so that you can read the print easily. If you're reading a computer screen with dark on light, then you have to have the print very bright and the contrast usually very in a very low setting. The other setting is inverse mode or inverted mode, which is for light print on a black background. The first setting is for black print on a light background. So the inverse is for white print on a black or light print on a dark background. This is most useful for computer screens. Prior to the invention of color screens, most screens were green print on a black background or something similar, and usually the inverse setting was used for reading a computer screen. On very early models of the Opticon, you could not read a computer screen. The Opticon 2 had an additional setting which could be used for reading a book or a text document that was in color, so that if it happened to be dark print on a light background, you could read it. If it happened to be light print on a dark background, you could also read it. And it just allowed a little more flexibility so that you could figure out what was happening with the document and read it more easily. The Opticon 2 had a number of other features that were quite handy. One was that there was a program written for the old DOS operating system. This is the one that came before Windows 3.1, even. And this program allowed you to use a mouse and a mouse pad to scan across a computer screen so that you wouldn't have to be holding the Opticon up to a screen to read your computer data. You could essentially use the mouse pad as if it were a screen and then scan across the screen with a mouse. And then that way the mouse would kind of simulate the camera as you moved it across. There was also functionality within that software to allow automatic scanning at a certain rate so that you could scan computer data without moving your hand at all. And that was also quite handy. I don't think the program was ever written for Windows, and I don't think that anything ever happened to enhance the function of the program. The version that I got was probably the first version of the software that ever came out, and I don't know what happened after that. I only used it for a few months because I ended up getting a Braille display after that, but it was a very interesting piece of software to experiment with. The Opticon 2 training was also enhanced so that people would not have to spend so much time with an Opticon instructor as they did when they were getting trained to use the Opticon 1. The Opticon 2 training involved, I suppose, some instructor training, but it also allowed people to do some independent study with computer software so that they could improve their speed and their tracking ability, and I suppose some other things. I don't know all the details since I never used any of that training. When I got my Opticon 2, I just applied the knowledge that I had from using the Opticon 1. The lenses for the Opticon 2 and the Opticon 1 were essentially the same, so you could use an Opticon 1 lens with the Opticon 2 and vice versa. and it worked very, very well. The price of the Opticon, as far as I can remember, was about the same for all models of the Opticon. I believe the very early models cost a little bit less because they didn't have the functionality for reading a computer screen. But the other machines, whether you were using an Opticon 1 or an Opticon 2, cost about $5,000. I am not sure of the exact price, but that was the cost. The marketability of the machine was somewhat limited, so the cost didn't really come down very much over the years. There have been some attempts in the last 15 years or so to rebuild or reconstruct the Opticon by a number of different companies. One was Blasi Engineering back in the early 1990s, and I don't know for sure how far they got with this. I think they had trouble with the array. The array is the portion of the Opticon that has the vibrating pins in it. And these pins were constructed especially for the Opticon itself, and they had to be done very meticulously, and they had to be activated in a certain way, which was very, very precise. Also, the cables were quite meticulously constructed. These were made especially for telesensory systems, and therefore I suspect that these are quite rare these days. They tend to wear out, and some of the little tiny cables inside of them tend to break, which caused the Opticon to malfunction. At any rate, the attempt was aborted. The next attempt that I remember, and I may have left some things out here, was to build a device called the VideoTim, VideoTim, and I believe this is still being made by a company in Germany. And if I recall correctly, the device was to be marketed in the United States beginning in either 2004 or 2005. And I think the price was estimated at the time at around $10,000. One of the main differences between the Opticon and the VideoTim was that the VideoTim would scan a page of print and then provide an image after scanning the page. There was a great deal of discussion on the Opticon list about this because Opticon users wanted to maintain the usability of the machine and the spontaneity with which you could read a bit of print. You could just look at something that wasn't even considered to be a page, such as a medication bottle or container or a food can or package of some type. And there was concern about how the VideoTim would behave when it encountered a package like this. Also, the array where the pins were located was larger and did not contain as many pins, which meant that the image was probably going to be a bit less detailed, and I don't know if any current Opticon users are using the VideoTim or not, or even if the device is still being marketed. I haven't heard anything about it in the last couple of years. But the idea was to create a device that would use off-the-shelf technology that would be readily available so that the prices could come down. Also, to reduce the amount of training required and to allow people to independently train to use the VideoTim without having to attend some sort of a class with a teacher. As I said, I haven't heard anything about the VideoTim for a couple of years, so I don't know if it's still in production or not, but it was an attempt to build a reading machine, and from what I understand, there were going to be some additions to it that would allow it to function in different ways, not just as a spontaneous reading device. I think there was even discussion of making it work with a Braille display, or to add a Braille display function, or even add speech. But there was also a great deal of concern about whether all of these additions would diminish the special functions that the Opticon has had. One of the big advantages of the Opticon was that not only did it allow blind people to get jobs because they could read print independently, but deaf-blind people could also get jobs because this was not talking technology and you don't have to hear to be able to use the machine. Another advantage is just the convenience from day to day of being able to read print independently. I remember reading some stories of people who were even able to vote independently because with practice they could easily determine where to check in the checkbox to mark the candidates that they wanted, and they could easily vote. I have used the Opticon to sign various forms that I needed to sign. You can figure out quite closely where the line for a signature is. There is a little nub on either side of the Opticon lens, and this lines up with the line that is currently being read. So if you can figure that out, then you can get pretty close to the place where you need to sign. I also have used the Opticon to help me in marking my various devices that have flat panel displays. One of the best examples of this is the microwave oven that I purchased about a year and a half ago. It had a flat panel display, and although the display was clear and you could read what was underneath the display, what was printed there, you could not determine where to push a button, and you couldn't really determine with accuracy the position within the row and column by just reaching over and touching it. So I had to mark the display with little stick-on dots. And in order to do this, I had to use the Opticon to figure out where the dots needed to go so that I could mark the display properly. And without this ability, I would have had to find somebody who could see to come in and look at the microwave and help me to mark it. So with the Opticon, I was able to do this without any help. And that was just really wonderful. So it was just a great help. As mentioned previously, there is an Opticon list that you can subscribe to if you want to keep up to date on what is going on with the Opticon. And this list doesn't have very much traffic, and it's fairly quiet, although in the last couple of days things have perked up a little bit. You can subscribe to the Opticon email list by sending a message with the word subscribe in the subject line, and you can send this message to Opticon, O-P as in people, T as in touch, A, C as in canister, O, N as in Nancy, dash, L as in library. Opticon dash L dash request at freelists, freelists.org. So it's Opticon dash L dash request at freelists, freelists.org. And this will get you a subscription. And if you are interested in keeping up with the Opticon, this is really the best way to do it. So, that is all that I need to say about the Opticon. If you have any questions, you can send them to the Opticon list, or you can email me. And I am at Mary Emerson, MaryEmerson, at SBC Global. Simon Baker Charlie, GLOBAL.net. And thank you for listening. This has been another edition of the G-Rated Podcast. If you wish to contact me, you can email Mary Emerson, MaryEmerson, at SBCGlobal.net. Thanks for listening.